Hey listeners, I have another great episode for you. Just a heads up, this episode does have some content your children may not have heard before, so you may want to give it a listen before you share it with them. Thanks for listening. Hi there, welcome to the Whole Home Podcast. It's still New Year's, and that means we are spanning now into the third year of this podcast. I could not have imagined it. And like someone said recently in a podcast, whatever it is that the Lord has put before you, just start that thing. Before you know it, years will have gone by. A great resource for this slow yet steady growth is a very short book called Productivity by Wilson. It is definitely one to pick up for the new year. And before I go any further, I should say if Whole Home is new to you, I am Laura Letario, the host. My role is to ask questions and facilitate a conversation about God's gracious work in the lives of ladies in my local church. And thanks for joining me in the conversation. If you have heard something that has impacted you, please share it via text or Instagram message on the Whole Home Podcast page so that I can share it on something new this season called Impact Points. Check out the Instagram page to see what it's all about. You will be blessed and encouraged. And please don't forget to share the podcast with ladies in your community group. We have had so many new members at Remnant every month. There's always someone new to share with. And I am so glad you are tuning in now because I have wanted to get the lady before me on this podcast for some time. Every time I talk to her, my heart soars because I have been encouraged by the Holy Spirit's work in her life and through her words. She is such an example of humility, kindness, and a gentle spirit. And I will say hello to her now. Hello, Reshmi.
Hey, Laura.
You also go by Resh as well.
Yes.
Yep. So welcome. And Reshmi, we met a few years ago now at Shaco Art Space.
That's right.
The nonprofit art gallery my husband runs along with many other wonderful people. And what's the story there? Do you even remember what show it was?
It was actually Josh Williams' show and a few other artists. So that was before I had met the Williams too. So that's really awesome.
That is especially awesome because you live with them now.
Yes.
Yes. Spoiler alert.
God is cool.
And who brought you there anyway?
Peyton Kester.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sure you'll share about that later.
Yeah.
Do you even remember how many years ago?
It must have been 2020 or 2021.
Okay.
So four or five years ago.
All right. So we're just going to jump in to your soil. Are you excited to be here today or nervous?
I'm very excited. Thank you so much for having me. I love this podcast. So it's an honor for sure.
Yay. Yes. I'm glad. I'm excited too. All right. Reshmi, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Sterling, Virginia up until third grade. And then we moved to Fairfax, Virginia.
Okay. Not being from around here. Where is that?
That is in Northern Virginia. It's a suburb of D.C.
Did you just say I'm from D.C. growing up kind of thing?
I guess we'd say Nova. Nova is kind of its own own world, different political views than the rest of Virginia, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sterling, Virginia. Describe it if you can.
Yeah. We grew up in a really sweet neighborhood. Everyone knew each other. There was a lot of kids my age, so we'd all play in the cul-de-sac. And it was really actually a sweet time.
Like new build homes that have been there forever, like established families?
Yeah, not exactly new build homes, but definitely just average middle class suburban homes. Yeah.
All right. Did you have a lawn?
We had a lawn and a backyard, yes.
Did you actually play in your backyard?
We did, yes. Yeah, we played a lot in the backyard. My dad always had a blow-up pool during the summertime.
Ooh. Wait, so. Are we talking like ankle high or?
No. A little bit more than that, but not more than 5 feet, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was it always a big to-do?
Yes. He really loved to swim. So that was his big thing to make sure we get our blow-up pool. And the neighbors didn't like it because it created a lot of excess water that would wash off. But we had a lot of fun in it.
That is really fun. I don't know if there are traumatic stories about a backyard pool and my dad, but they're kind of funny now.
Okay.
Looking back on. But yeah, he would make us like move it every year. And it was...
Oh, wow.
It was higher than waist, and we'd have to dig down in the ground like 4 feet as kids.
Oh, wow.
And then every year he decided it should be in a new location.
Oh, no. Okay. It was really, he was exploring the land.
It was something.
Okay.
But blow up now. I like that. That yes. sounds great. All right. Do you go back there? Is your family still there?
My mom now lives in Woodbridge, Virginia. So a little, maybe an hour away from Sterling, but still in the Northern Virginia area.
No, that's a happen in place because IKEA's there.
That's right. And exactly. Yes.
Does your mom like to shop?
She loves to shop.
Okay. Yes. It's a smart move.
Yes.
Smart move for
Tactical.
You.
Yeah.
When you go
I
back.
I love to visit.
That's fun. Well, I guess you could probably say more about how you moved, but let's just go to who you grew up with. Who was in your family?
Yeah, I grew up with my mom, Sarbani, and my dad, Maharshi, and my brother, Neil.
Just the four of you, no animals, nothing.
Oh, we had fish for a while.
Fish are quiet.
Quiet, yes. Not intrusive. No, we really wanted pets, but pets were a no for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then did you have family around that you would visit or have mm-hmm. in your life?
Our immediate family was mainly in New York. So both of my grandparents were in New York when we were growing up. So that was primarily where we went to visit family.
You never grew up with cousins, and you're saying?
No, I actually don't have any immediate cousins.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, it's interesting, but yeah. We didn't have to share grandparents. So
yeah,
there were some pros there.
Okay. So what were you like?
As a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of quirky. Very shy, but the Lord's always provided me with good friends. I've always enjoyed friendship and getting to know a lot of different types of people. I think that's an example that my mom set, is she was always meeting with different people, never in cliques. So that helped me to get to know everybody in the neighborhood. So that was fun, for sure.
Okay, so you think that she was a big part of that?
Yeah, I think she set that example of always talking with people and not discriminating in that way. So I think naturally I've just picked up on that, and that's been helpful throughout life.
A cul-de-sac kind of helps too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys have, there was a short period of my life where I lived in a cul-de-sac, and there was like yearly, I don't even know what they called it, but just like things that they did, events.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you guys have anything like that?
Yeah, our family would host 4th of July, so that was really sweet. All the families would come over, and we just do driveway fireworks, that kind of stuff.
Love it.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm.
So why did you say quirky?
I've never really fit into the mainstream groups, I would say. Kind of doing my own thing, I guess. Maybe wanting to hang out with the cool kids, but not quite being in that realm. So I guess I see myself as quirky.
So were you like trying to get attention? Like, hey,
yeah.
Aren't I cool? Yeah. Look at my new hairdo. I don't
know. Exactly. Yeah. I wanted Abercrombie and Fitch and that kind of stuff. But my mom didn't see why we should have to spend twice the amount on a t-shirt. So I would wear Kohl's clothing, which now I think is great. But
same.
Yeah.
So what about your brother? How close in age are y'all?
He's a little bit older, a little bit more than a year older than me. So we're pretty close in age. He's just one grade above me.
Do you like having a big brother?
I do. I do. Definitely now I do. I love my brother very much. I guess growing up, we weren't super close. We'd kind of stay in our own lanes. So we didn't have a ton of interaction in the teenage years. But my mom said when I was a baby, he was very, very caring of me. So yeah, he's a good brother.
So that's interesting, your own lanes. If you were that close in age, what kind of kept you not crossing paths a lot?
I guess different friend groups. In high school, he was very much the cool guy and had cool friends, and I was not allowed to hang out with them.
Oh.
Yeah, different interests as well. He is definitely very sharp and reads a lot and can write very well. And those are skills I never have really had. So we'd just be doing different things in parallel, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to stay when you're young. Just give me some more of a picture mm-hmm. of Rishmi, super little.
Okay. I really loved biking, but I would only go from my house to the end of the cul-de-sac and back. I would never explore.
Big adventure.
Just go up and down all day. I liked the safety of that predictability. And other kids would go to the next neighborhood over, and I thought they were really wild. And
what did your bike look like?
It was a pink bike with a white basket and flowers on it. And I think they still sell it at Walmart. So
you're checking.
Classic bike.
Yeah, classic. I love a good bike basket. I don't really know if I really ever used it, but I feel better if my bike has a basket.
Yeah, it's not very practical because things just pop out of it.
Yeah.
But
I even got one for my 40th birthday, and it has a basket.
Yes.
I haven't put anything in it. Someday I don't know, lunch bag, I guess. I don't know. Okay, so up and down the cul-de-sac. What else? What other kinds of games did you like to do? Were you like a doll girl?
Huge doll girl.
Okay.
Yeah, the day I got an American Girl doll was one of the best days ever, for sure.
For sure. Yeah. And you were not far from the store. Did you do the whole thing, like go to the big American Girl store?
No, I never did it as a kid. I definitely ventured in when I was older. But yeah, my uncle was the one that eventually got me an American Girl doll. So
nice.
That was very sweet of him.
Was it something you wanted for a really long time? And yes.
Yeah. So my parents would not get me one.
It's good, though. It's good.
Yes.
Sometimes, like, denial is good. And then you got the thing at how old were you? Was it kind of too late to love it?
No, it was perfect. I can't remember. I'm not too good with timeline, which is maybe not the best, but maybe 7 to 8.
Okay.
Around then.
So yes. Do you think that you cared for your dolls well, or you're like, oh, she's getting a makeover, she's getting a haircut, she's...
That's funny. No, I would not mess with the original hair that she came with. So yeah, just keeping everything intact and kind of carrying them around like babies.
Yeah. So where'd you go to school when you were younger?
When I was younger, I went to Rolling Ridge Elementary, and it was a short walk from our neighborhood, so that was sweet to be able to walk to school.
Who walked you there?
Most of my memory was that I walked alone to school, even without my brother, which doesn't make sense. Maybe he was there.
Maybe he was reading next to you while you were walking or something.
Yes.
Why didn't you get into books at a young age?
Ever since I've learned to read, I've never been a big reader. I remember we had a competition on who could read the most books in first grade, and I totally lied. I made it up that I read all these books, which is so bad.
But, so you felt pressure at first grade?
Yeah, especially with my brother. People were very impressed with him. I believe he started reading before first grade. So they had high expectations for me in the academic realm that I did not fulfill.
I'm trying to think of what a first grader would read that you would lie about.
Magic Treehouse.
Magic. Okay.
That feels high, like a high level for a first grader. But I believe that's what my brother was reading.
And those are still widely read today.
Yeah.
I was just talking about to someone who just gave them to their little kid for Christmas.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. All right. You're walking to school. What'd you do when you got there?
I loved my elementary school, especially my first grade teacher. She would kiss us on the cheek every day before we left.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Is she older?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe she was... I don't know. Kids, I think, don't really see age correctly. But in my mind, she was in her 50s or 60s.
Mm-hmm.
So she was very sweet. I tell that story now and it weirds people out that she would kiss us. But maybe it was a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day. And I thought I could never leave first grade because I knew no one else would kiss me on the cheek.
So, yeah. Well, she must have had a little fire in her heart. These kids need to know they're loved.
Yeah. She was a great teacher, for sure.
Were you more someone that kept to yourself, or like you jump in the crowd?
Definitely more kept to myself, but would interact with people for sure.
I definitely have memories of like chasing people on the playground, like, play with me.
Aww, so
or
sweet.
Like kind of wandering to the edges of the playground, picking flowers or who knows. And then I was homeschooled. Starting what grade? Second grade? Yeah. Mm. But anyway, how long were you at this school?
We stayed through third grade, and then our family moved to a quite larger home. I believe it was around that time where it was easier to buy large homes. So we moved from a very close-knit neighborhood to a neighborhood that was much more spread out. There was a lot more land between the homes, and the neighbors were elderly. They had grown children, so it's definitely a different dynamic from where I went to early elementary.
Did you like that?
No, not at all.
I think did you have to get bus to school now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we had to ride the bus. It was a big turning point for our family. A lot changed, and I think the close-knit neighborhood was a protection in a way for us as young kids, just to be out of the home a lot. So when we moved to this new neighborhood, we were in the home a lot more, and we can kind of see the issues in the family a little bit more. So
yeah. Both your parents worked?
Yes, both of my parents worked outside the home.
All right. What did they do?
They are computer engineers.
Both?
Yes.
Did they meet that way?
They actually were arranged married by my grandparents.
Okay, you gotta say more about that.
Yeah, I often ask my mom. It's very intriguing to me. My mom immigrated from India when she was around 18 years old, and my father immigrated in high school. And my mom's father met my father's parents and did an arranged marriage with them. Yeah.
Okay. And that was absolutely normal.
It's, yeah, very normal, especially in India. It still happens today for sure. Yeah.
What age do you remember finding that out?
I can't remember. It's never something that they hid from us.
Mm-hmm.
I think I think about it more now that I'm older, but I can't remember exactly when I found out. Yeah, I think I always knew that's how they came together.
Okay. Pretty cool.
It's definitely interesting.
How often were they allowed to, I don't know if you'd call it courting or know one another?
Yeah, I don't know too much about their courting. It's kind of a hard topic for my mom, but from my knowledge, it happened fairly quickly. They didn't know each other very well.
All right. So you had a bigger house, your own room.
Yeah, it was, I'm trying to remember this room. I remember we got really fancy furniture all of a sudden for this new house. Felt very regal, but not my style, maybe. I was in fourth grade, so I'm not sure how much of a style I had. it is coming back to me. Yes, it was all white. It was a white dresser and a white bed frame, and it was a large bed. So, yeah, it was kind of fun, a little bit scary, because the rooms were much bigger than what we had before.
Your friends didn't really have to change too much because you had friends at school?
So we moved from Sterling to Fairfax, so it was a big
city.
Change.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, all new friends.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the neighborhood we grew up in, so it was a big change.
Okay. A hard transition. How long were you here? Do you have a good memory from that neighborhood that you want to share? Or just a story?
Yeah, not a lot of good memories in that neighborhood. The neighbors were sweet, but I think we were trying to find the friends that we had in the old neighborhood. And there were some kids all the way down the street that didn't really want to play with us. So we didn't really know what to do. There was a pool, an actual pool in the backyard. So I had a great ninth birthday party where we invited all the old neighbors over and everyone just hung out in the backyard. So that was a good
time. That sounds like a nice effort for your parents to do that.
For sure.
Okay, well, how do you think your family would describe you as younger?
Interesting. Maybe shy. Yeah, my mom has always seen me as shy. I think in comparison to my brother, he's a little bit more courageous. So standing next to him, I was shyer and more timid and dealt with anxiety. I wore a sweatshirt. It was a Reese's PC sweatshirt, I think, all of fourth grade. Even during the heat.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think
was it brown? What did it look like?
It was orange.
Orange?
Yes. And it said Reese.
Do you have a picture?
I wish I did. But I love that thing, but I would never take it off. So I think my mom was a little bit concerned.
Did you see it in the store and like the heavens parted?
I have no idea why. I just fixated on the sweatshirt.
Okay.
I mean, it was like a comfort thing. I really like the orange, I think.
You still like orange?
I still like orange, yes.
Do you like Reese's?
I do. I try not to eat them very often, but I love them, yes.
Rushmi, the sweatshirt, do you still own it?
I do not. That would be awesome. That'd be awesome.
Dang.
It was kind of viewed negatively in my family because, yeah.
Oh, so wait. You're a little rebellious. You're like, they hate it. I'm going to wear it.
Maybe. They thought I had a problem that I wouldn't take it off,
mm-hmm.
even in the heat. So maybe I was being rebellious, but yeah, yeah.
We'll never know.
We won't. Yeah. What young Rush was thinking.
Okay, so did your brother tease you? Did you guys have a good relationship back then?
I would say up until third grade, we would play in the neighborhood together. I don't remember him being super mean to me. I'm sure there was teasing, but mm-hmm. yeah, any hobby that he had kind of took over him. Like, he was very into it. So he would make these circuits at one point, and we would go to Radio Shack every weekend so we could buy all his little circuits. So okay. he was very engrossed in whatever his current hobby was.
And in the meantime, you would be doing what? What would you be? What, were you crafting? Did you have like a...
I did like crafting, okay. yes. Yes, so crafting, playing with dolls, watching TV.
Okay, I'm getting it. I'm getting the picture. What did you want to be when you grew up? Did you think about that at all?
Yeah, I remember telling my grandparents I wanted to be a lawyer. And I'm not sure if I said that just because I wanted them to be pleased with me. Because mm-hmm. I think that's something that they would be pleased with. I wanted to be a pediatrician. I really enjoyed going to the doctors. So.
Okay. I just edited out a really long period of us laughing. I was very surprised by that statement. Okay. Should I be thinking elf in my head like you're just pumped for life? Like, I don't know.
I just remember they'd always give us stickers and treats, and my mom would always take us out to lunch after. So it was a great, it was a big event.
Yeah. For me. Sounds great. I had a really good childhood doctor. Gosh, a good doctor is hard to come by.
That is true.
Always thankful if you get one.
Yes.
Okay. So pediatrician, anything else?
I think that's it. I didn't think about wanting to work too much.
Were you ever intrigued by what your parents' job was?
No, never. I never really knew too much about it. I'm very impressed with my mom now when I watch her work. Mm-hmm. But growing up, I was never intrigued.
Does she still do what she did growing up, or does she like change jobs?
Yeah, she still does it. Yeah, okay. And she's very good at it. So I'm very impressed by her work ethic. I try to kind of hover over her shoulder and see what she's doing, but I have never absorbed any of it. Mm. So I don't think the Lord's given me the same intelligence that my parents have in that realm. But my brother is studying to go into that same field. So that's
okay.
Cool.
Does he live up in Nova?
He lives in Baltimore, okay. Maryland, and he works in Virginia. And he does not own a car, so he bikes.
Okay.
And metros. So.
Okay. I see this biking theme.
Yes.
Yeah. To bring that back in full circle, yeah. I feel like I just had a conversation with you
That's right. We're
going to go biking someday.
Capitol Trail.
Yes.
The whole thing, right?
The whole. Just kidding. A piece at a time.
A piece at a time.
I'm going to bring my basket.
Oh, yes.
We'll Does your bike snacks. Have one now?
I don't believe so, but it is a Walmart bike.
Let's do it. Okay. Next question. Let's move into older years. Are you in the same house for how long? Is there anything you want to insert before we jump to high school?
Yeah, we stayed in that house maybe for 2 years. And then my mom left my father. So we left in sixth grade. So that was a big change as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely want to honor my parents, but... primarily on my father's side, there was a lot of abuse. I was very much shielded from it, being the youngest girl, but my brother and my mother took the brunt of it. It was verbal and physical. And when we were in this new home, my grandparents were visiting, and he was abusive to them. And I think that's when my mom got the blessing of her parents to be able to leave him, because divorce is not really something that is common in Indian culture, so it's not recommended typically. So my mom continued in the marriage, I think, to honor her parents' desires. So yes, yeah.
Where did you go Did you have to change schools again?
My mom is really thoughtful in trying to keep us in the same school. We ended up living with her friend for, I think, less than a year. And then eventually she was able to find a townhome to rent that we could all live in. And it was helpful when a lot is changing.
Yeah. You said you kind of didn't really have an idea about your father. Were you kind of shielded this whole process and you just didn't know what was going on, but just that your life was changing and changing fast?
I knew a little bit. I would hear the abuse, but as a kid, I just thought it was normal or something we didn't talk about outside of the home. So it wasn't surprising to me, but I do remember hugging him for a really long time right before we left. I really did love him. It was very confusing as a child because I did have a great love for him, but I knew that he was not a good man at the same time due to certain things that he would do and the way he ran the home.
Yeah. What was your relationship like with your mom? Did she work a lot? Did you see her? Or I know you went to the doctor.
Yes, that's great to say. When we all lived together, I was very close to my mom. I would kind of cling to her, maybe in an unhealthy way. And so when we left my father, she would be at work a lot more. And that was hard for me. And yeah, so we'd be alone a lot after school, for sure. Mm-hmm. There was a period where a friend, her parents would let me stay with them after school, and that was really, really sweet of them, and it helped a lot during that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did your family have any, like, religious beliefs or anything that would comfort you? Like, what did you even think big picture about the circumstance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. That's around the time I started to seek God in sixth grade. I remember praying every night. My grandparents were very devout Hindus. My mom's side was more devout than my dad's side, but okay. Both sets, yes. My dad, from what I understood, was agnostic or atheist, and my mom was Hindu, but we'd not in the same way that her parents were, not with the same amount of devotion.
Yeah. So did you grow up, well, you had that Reese sweatshirt. I would say, did anyone in your family have kind of what you would think of a traditional sort of sari, like, or garb? Or
My mom has many, many saris, and we definitely wore a lot of Indian clothing. Mm-hmm. You go to temple a couple times a year. Yeah.
You went?
Yes.
What's that like?
Now it's hard to reflect on because I don't believe in those gods now. It was very confusing. We would bow before statues and sacrifice food to them. And each god had a different specialty. So if you wanted good grades, you would go to a certain god and pray before them. But it wasn't like you had any kind of relationship with them. It was very ritualistic. Yeah.
Was that like a family thing? I don't really know much about it. Or would your parents or your grandparents say you kind of choose your gods?
I think my mom would guide me. I didn't know too much detail about each god, so she would guide me, especially about my grades, to pray before certain gods. Mostly they would pray on our behalf. My grandma kept an altar of gods that she kept very carefully and prayed before each day, so sometimes I would sit with her. Yeah, and it was almost a fond memory because I was able to be with my grandma and doing something that she really enjoyed.
So I'm thinking, you just mentioned sixth grade praying. Mm. Would you pray not in front of an altar?
Yeah, most of the time I would pray before bed.
Okay, so where did you even get that idea?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I will say my friend Judy Kim, her dad was a pastor, and she would take me to Korean church for a while on Sundays, but they only spoke Korean.
Whoa.
So I had no idea
what was going on. And you went anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, what a grace. Yeah.
Whoa.
They would feed me very good Korean food, so I kept going.
Yeah. Okay. So is this, did she take other people or just you?
I think it was mainly just me.
Wow. Yeah. And so you got some notion of prayer, though. You maybe saw them praying, not in front of.
That's what I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember they talked about Moses and we ate donuts, but.
That's so funny.
Yeah. It was so cool. It was kind of my first experience of a church. It was very sweet. Yes.
I was just listening to some podcasts, or not podcasts, snippets of, I guess, teachings yesterday, teaching on bread and wine, and then somehow, like, donuts kept getting mentioned. So it was really funny that you just mentioned it right now. And we talked about bread and wine this morning with Pastor Doug and donuts. So was that, like, something you did for a couple months or, like, long term? Did you only go a couple times?
I think it might have been half a year. I'm not sure what happened. Maybe it was the summer going into middle school and we kind of stopped. Or no, it must have been earlier. I'm not sure. I think we fell out of friendship. So okay. We weren't as close.
So you started praying. Do you remember what you prayed for? Or
I remember really specifically being stressed that I couldn't pray for everything I wanted to pray for. So I'd imagine myself in my bed and I would picture from my bed all the way to the stars and just ask the Lord, or not, I didn't pray to the Lord at the time, I don't think, but I'd ask God to bless everybody because I was so stressed I would forget to pray for someone, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Did your family know you did this? Did it feel like you were cheating on your family?
That's interesting. I don't think we ever talked about it. It was just kind of something I picked up on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and my mom let me go to Christian church, so there wasn't a lot of, divisiveness there. But Hindus believe that Jesus is one of the gods, so that he's included with all the other gods. They don't reject him, but they don't understand him rightly.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Did you see your dad again?
That's a good question. At first, the court gave him visitation, so he ended up getting an apartment. And we would go to visit him. I had a lot of fear because my mom would not be at those visits and it was a new environment. So I was very scared to visit him. And we did have a couple of good visits. My grandmother would come and we did some crafts. But the visitation didn't last very long. My mom forfeited any child support. And so we no longer had to visit him.
At that point, maybe until you were 18, you didn't really have any way that you could see him, kind of thing?
Yeah, I knew it would be touchy to visit him and what that would open up for the family. So, yeah, I didn't see him until it was last year when he passed away. I was able to see him before he passed away.
Wow. How did you start to see yourself as a young person growing up? Did you harden? Did you turn inward?
I think it kind of just kept going. I didn't really let it affect me too much, which is interesting. It kind of seemed like the natural path that would happen, I think. Just seeing the abuse over time, I wasn't shocked by the whole situation. So I think kids are really resilient. Just continue to go to school. And my grandparents came and lived with us for a while, so that was sweet to have that extra support while my mom was getting on her feet.
Wow, that's a big move.
Yeah.
For them. Yeah. So are you really close to them?
Yeah, I was as a kid, and I really loved them. There was a little bit of a language barrier. They did live in New York for a very long time, but they grew up in India, so that was more of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a little bit of a cultural and language barrier, but yeah, I love them very much.
Okay, so what were you involving yourself in at school? Did you get a job at a young age? How did you spend your time?
I was an orchestra kid, so played a lot of violin, but was never very good at it. Or maybe there was a period I was, but then I wasn't disciplined to keep that up. But I primarily enjoyed the friends I made in orchestra and the trips that we went on. So,
do you still own one?
I recently gave my violin away, So no, I don't own one anymore.
Two?
I can't remember. I think I maybe just donated it. Generally.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Closed door then, huh?
Close that door. Yes.
Yeah. Would you play like big shows? You said you like to travel with the orchestra?
Yeah. Every year we would have a final concert. Sometimes it was in, I think one year it was in Orlando, Florida. One year it was Atlanta, Georgia. One year it was in Philly. We would go and play the concert and kind of compete with other schools that traveled and go see the sights and eat the food. It was a good time. I started in the front, like one of the front chairs, and eventually it was moved all the way to the back. And me and my friend would just chat the whole time. But I had a very committed orchestra teacher, Miss Rupert. So,
did you work at all during high school?
I worked towards the end of high school at Kumon, and I would grade papers. It was a very sad place to be. It was a large gray room where kids would be tutored.
Oh, that's tutoring. Right. Okay. Yeah. Kumon tutoring. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
A very aggressive tutoring place, I think. I don't know. I was just a grader.
Did somebody encourage you to get that job?
No, not at all. I felt like I should have had a job at that point. I was a senior in high school and I hadn't worked. So, yeah.
Before you jumped to the college world, you thought I should get some experience?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did it help you?
It taught me that work can be joyful and you get to meet new people and learn new skills. So it was a good first job.
So you didn't actually tutor?
No.
No?
No.
Did you get a red pen?
I think so, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you like grading things?
I do. I think it was fun. Yeah, I always would go home and pretend to be my teacher when I was a kid. So I was kind of in that seat finally. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any teaching proclivities?
I don't know. That's interesting because I'd always pretend to be one. Uh-huh. But I don't know if I know anything well enough to be a teacher.
Would you pretend to be a certain, like, I'm the science teacher, or just in general, this is how you spell this word?
No, I think it was just in elementary, we'd have a main grade teacher. So I would just pretend to be her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fun. Like stuffed animals?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Loved stuffed animals.
Did you have a lot of stuffed animals? Were you a minimalist or do you have all the things?
Minimalist, not by choice.
Okay. Now, did you swing the other way?
A little bit. Yeah. I think so, definitely. Once I had my own money, I would buy a lot of things. That's for sure.
Do you think that I asked you enough about high school?
High school? Yeah. High school was mainly orchestra. I started exploring self-help books in high school. So I think I kind of see that as the beginning of my spiritual exploration.
Yeah. Okay. Were you thinking definitely spiritual? Or were you thinking more of like, I should get on a schedule? Or were you literally thinking, what does life mean? Kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think it was more at the schedule stage. I have a memory of walking through the library and just desiring a book of ethics. I just wanted to know how to live life. So I think that was my attraction to the law. Yeah, but I would read books like How to Win Friends and Influence People. So not quite the meaning of life yet, but stepping in that direction.
Did you actually try to put those in action?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Give me an example.
I still use this one to this day.
Oh, cool.
He talks about someone's favorite word and it's their own name. So people like to hear their own names, but I try not to use it in a manipulating way now, I guess, but just to know that the Lord gave them a name and that's special and unique to them. And I think, especially at work now, saying someone's name humanizes them versus them just being another customer on the line. Like, this is a person to be spoken to with respect and dignity. Yeah. So, yeah.
So when you came home with these books, did anyone raise an eyebrow?
No, my mom was very busy with work and she started to date, and my brother was in his own world. So we were kind of just all in our own worlds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I kind of do whatever I wanted.
Were you someone that had close girlfriends, or would you just hang out with a mixed group?
I had a few good girlfriends that I would hang out, but I think definitely made a lot of friends in different realms, but the people I saw the most were a close bunch. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you weren't really thinking about a career, and at this point not asking bigger questions in life. You're just kind of moving along. So you said the next thing to do is college, right?
Or exactly.
Yeah. So you just, how did that go? How did you choose what you wanted to do or go?
Yeah, I took a psychology course in high school, and that really intrigued me. It was the first time I kind of thought more introspectively, thought about the brain and how and why it works. So I didn't have a lot of direction. So I thought I would study psychology in college, and I chose VCU because I really wanted to live in a city, and that was the only really big city in Virginia.
And you got in.
Yeah, yeah.
How was it?
The first year was awesome. It was really good. I feel like, in a way, I got everything I wanted, which would later not turn out to be the best thing.
So at that point, though, were you studying your major, or is it all general stuff in the beginning?
It's mostly general, yeah, mm-hmm. but a little bit of psychology stuff.
It kept you interested in it?
It did. I did want to know when I could actually get to the meat of the content. So it didn't answer a lot of questions that I was starting to think of. But yeah, a lot of general stuff. I think, I was pre-med. I wanted to be a psychiatrist, I decided.
Okay.
So I took a lot of science courses as well.
You got to shoot for something.
Yes.
Are you good at science? Did you find that out?
Very much not good at science.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I did enjoy the statistics class.
Whoa. So, that's not easy.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just really enjoyed. Maybe I had a good professor.
Okay.
Yeah, who presented the material well.
Do you like spreadsheets to this day?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. It was just cool. Everything came together, and there was always a correct answer in psychology. There's often not a one correct answer. So mm-hmm. It was very satisfying that you were either right or wrong. There was no in between. Yeah.
Man, that I just remember that class was a lot of pressure. It was like more credits, I think, from my memory when I took it, because it was hard.
Yeah.
Because I did a sociology/social work degree.
That's right.
And so I had to take that.
You didn't enjoy it?
I think I did.
Okay.
I do like spreadsheets. I don't use them in my life too much, other than like who wants to bring what to this potluck. But
yeah.
Now. But yeah. I don't really have any reason to do percentages. Maybe someday. What was I going to ask you? Oh, okay. So how did faith find you? What's the story there?
Yeah, I ended up having an encounter with the Lord after a couple different things happened in my life. So that's, I guess, the short version of what happened.
Okay. Encounter with the Lord, like the Bible?
So freshman year of college, I did kind of the normal stuff and really enjoyed it. And then sophomore year of college, I ended up living up on my own and was very isolated. So I tried to join different types of groups and couldn't really find my place. And that's when I really started thinking about what is the meaning of life, and I couldn't come to a solid answer. So I eventually gave into hedonism and pleasure seeking, and I dropped out of college and I started exploring spiritual things. I would smoke a lot of weed, and I would have spiritual encounters while I was smoking weed. So that was my introduction to the spiritual world, and it went downhill pretty fast, because now I see those experiences were with demons. So they can be tricky. They appear as if they're giving you wisdom, but they're actually tricking you. So just following those.
Were you alone doing this?
I had a friend who I did it with. Yes.
But in your mind, you're like, this is life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was kind of my first taste of, this is awesome. Because marijuana kind of takes away any pains that I had. And would connect me with the spiritual world. And so it was kind of my bridge to spiritual wisdom. And it was very exciting for me.
Did you have to hide that from your family that you dropped out of school?
My mom was very understanding. So, yeah, she was very gracious towards me.
How did you live if you dropped out of school? Could you work?
I was actually in a very bad state by the time I dropped out of school, very dependent on weed, would have very large emotional outbursts. So I dropped out and ended up moving back with my mom.
Okay.
With the goal of creating a tarot card business.
Okay.
Yes.
Who gave you that idea?
I started to, through my spiritual experiences, kind of be led in that direction. I really enjoyed doing tarot card readings. So I did them on a group of friends one night, and they gave me a lot of positive feedback of, oh, this is really accurate, and this is actually very helpful information. So I thought that's the path I would go down.
Did you find, for the first time in your life, I'm trying to think of how to ask this question. All I can think of is the word pride. Did you feel a sense of, like, I don't know, pride and maybe security and validation, maybe like you've never felt before?
I think so. Yeah. Like I finally found something that was special to me. Yeah. It gives you a lot of power to tell people what their future will be. And it gave me a sense of control for sure.
But then you were dependent on drugs this whole time. Yeah.
It really twists your mind. You think you're getting all this power, but it's actually weakening you and you can't really see it because you're being deceived. Yeah.
How long did this go on?
Praise God, not very long. I think the start to the end was maybe a 6-month period before Jesus saved me. So I'm very grateful that it wasn't.
Okay, I'm done talking. Keep going.
Oh, how the Lord saved me.
Yes.
Okay, so I was home. It was around...
I'm sitting back. You just go.
Yeah, it's very cool the time that we're doing this podcast because it was around this time about 5 years ago. So it was around New Year's time and I spent some time with friends and it was great. And I did a bunch of tarot card readings and they were very pleased. A couple of days go by, it's January 3rd and I'm trying to build this tarot card business. So I'm looking into the decks that are most used. I came across this deck. It's the love deck. Everyone wants to know who they're gonna date or marry. So I came across it. It was made by Doreen Virtue, and I finally got it in the mail that day, and I opened it up, and I really had this deep sense of a presence of evil on the deck, and I didn't know what to think of that because I knew it was a very coveted deck to have. Speaking of evil, it was, if you're feeling that something is evil, then your vibration is low, so you need to raise your vibration. So there was no right or wrong per se. So I was confused if it was something in me or something in the deck. So I looked up the owner or the maker of the deck, and she had a testimony that she was saved by Jesus Christ. And I was shocked because I had a very negative view of Christians, even though the Lord was very kind and sent Christians to me throughout life. So I kind of watched it with a skeptical eye, and I can't remember the details, but I do remember that she spoke of the Lord as a person, and that really softened my heart to know that God would relate to someone in a very personal way. So I didn't watch the whole interview, but I kind of walked away from it thinking I want to look into this Jesus thing a little bit more. So I went upstairs, and I remember I was going to take a shower, and so it was in the bathroom, out of all places, and the presence of the Lord came over me, and it was the sweetest thing ever, and I can't explain it, I haven't had many of these experiences since, but it was an automatic knowing, this is Jesus, he is King. And this is what I've been looking for my whole life. It was like I automatically knew. I don't know how to explain it. I remember the Lord said my name and gave me these flashes of all these things I loved and asked me, "Do you love me more than these?" And I was like, "Yes, Lord, you're all I want," which is so odd because I didn't know anything about Jesus. But it really was like he opened my eyes to see the truth. And immediately I felt this lightness and I was born again. Like my eyes were bright and I could see things clearly. And at the time I was dealing with a lot of demonic torment mentally, and immediately the torment was gone. So it was an amazing day for sure.
Wow.
Yeah, praise God.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Where do you go from there?
You go to Barnes & Noble.
We go to Barnes & Noble. Okay. Yes. What happens there?
I was like, I guess I'm a Christian. I guess I need a Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I took a shower and that was...
This is wild.
Yeah. It was. I still sometimes reflect and I thank God so much because it really wasn't anything I did. I was really his enemy, like working for Satan, actively working against the Lord. So I'm so grateful. Yeah, I knew I wanted a Bible. And growing up, I would see girls highlighting their Bibles. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cute. I don't know. But I never delved into it. So I got my own Bible now. So it's mm-hmm. exciting. And so I went to Barnes & Noble's. I just remember I saw people differently. There was just the way the world looked was different. And I picked out an ESV leather-bound Bible, kind of. I was like, what does a Bible look like? Mm-hmm. So just the most Bible-looking Bible I could find. And I took that home and started reading Genesis. Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. I remember you sharing at some point somewhere that it was maybe a while before you joined a church.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Okay.
So I was still living at home. I had a negative view of church around this time. I thought...
Was it like a cultural thing that people are just like Christians are...
Exactly.
...weird and I don't know. I can just go down a list of adjectives.
Yeah. But, yeah. Very lies about the church.
But it wasn't that you had a friend, you're like, this is how Christians are. Or maybe...
No. Maybe. I think my dad was a very strong liberal, so he always... had a negative view of Christians. So I think that always stayed in my mind. And I was a part of activist groups that were very radical. And so the view I had of Christianity was that it was a white religion and that it was a very hateful religion and the church was a brainwashing kind of corporation.
So. And now you're like, I'm one of them.
Yes. Very thankfully. Yeah, I was very deceived. But it gives me a lot of empathy for when people are hateful towards the church.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
But you would say that you believed in Jesus?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I was very passionate about Jesus. I was more fearful to go to a church. I didn't know how I would be received. I didn't really know what to do, how to talk to anybody. Because this was still a time where I was very weak from my past. So I didn't really know how to... I couldn't even sit in a coffee shop. I couldn't really go outside. So I was very scared to go to church, too.
Yeah. But did you read your Bible?
I read my Bible. I prayed a lot. I went on a lot of walks. It was a sweet time with the Lord. I didn't have a lot of good direction. But the Lord definitely led me to a church eventually. It was about 6 months into it, I think. I started going to church.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you go back to school ever?
Yes. Yeah. So I got a job as a nanny right by the church I started to attend. I started reading through the Proverbs and kind of had this hunger to follow a righteous life, kind of do more normal things again. So I prayed about returning to school and finishing school.
Yeah. In psychology?
In psychology, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to get out of the house, I think, again. So that was my main motivation. But I did want to start living a more normal life. So I should finish what I started at school.
Okay. If you could go back and maybe let's just go for those broader questions that you know are coming because you listen to the podcast. Was there a significant changing point in your life aside from this? Did you have another big change after that? Or do you think it's kind of been a slow and steady growth?
I'd say when I started going to Remnant, that was a pretty big change.
Yeah.
So that I'm very grateful for. It's given me a lot of direction and how to follow the Lord, a lot more stability than what I had before going to Remnant.
Maybe just keep teasing out just what are some obstacles you've had to overcome in your life?
In my life? I think trusting the Lord with the future. I was very grateful that he saved me, and the years following that were mainly about learning about him, and it's kind of a honeymoon period. It was awesome. I'm still very grateful for it, but I'm a little bit confused what happens now. So yeah, it's something I'm still working through. I think the sermon that Pastor Doug Ponder preached this morning was very, very helpful of what life looks like after being saved.
I mean, the practical points he laid out.
Yeah.
There's confess and love and have gratitude, forgive.
Yes.
Keep pressing on.
Yeah.
And there was another, keep your head up in suffering.
Right. Yes, good memory.
Yeah. I wrote them down.
Oh, okay. I'm impressed.
I'm like trying to visualize. But they were so practical. I'm like, I want to remember these because you don't get past those ever.
There's
no point in our faith where, you know, those were for newbies and now, you know, I moved on.
Exactly.
I moved past love. Don't do that. You're never going to.
Never.
And if you're in the church, if you're around people, you're always going to have to be forgiving. You're always a Christian life. If you are walking with Christ, you will suffer. You know, you do have to have faith and trust in God, like you were just mentioning, and hope for what he promises. And, you know,
yes.
I mean, could keep going.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know. Did any of those stand out in particular to you?
I think forgiving one another. I think I can become prideful and think that I'm better. I often forget where I came from and how much the Lord has forgiven me of. So I pray that the Lord would give me his posture of forgiveness and humility, and not think of myself better.
Yeah. You did mention, though, that your dad passed away last year, and that sent you into a time of reflection.
Yeah.
Do you want to share any of that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the way it happened, we didn't have any contact with him, but his wife, he got remarried, ended up reaching out to my mom. So by the Lord's grace, were able to be with him for his last moments. He died shortly after we entered his hospital room.
Can you say that again?
We got to his hospital room, and within 20 minutes, he passed away.
Whoa. Are you talking about you and your brother? Was your brother there? Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was so such the Lord.
Wow.
It was impossible. Yes.
What did he die from?
He had a history of heart attacks, and so this was kind of the last straw. Yeah.
Did he know you were there?
He was in a coma-like state when my brother went and sat next to him. My dad's eyeball, like just one of his eyes, moved and looked at my brother, and I got a deep sense that he knew that my brother was there, and I was able to hold his hand and tell him I loved him and pray over him. So it was really special to be in that room. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's really where the Lord showed me his love for my father. And I think I had a lot of hatred in my heart towards him for the sins he committed against our family. But the Lord showed me that he forgives my father and he loves my father. And it's not an accident that I'm his daughter. It's by the Lord's design, and that really opened my eyes to how much the Lord forgives with such great depth, and how much love he has for family, and how important fathers are. So that was really, really special to me. It kind of rewrote how I saw my father through the Lord's eyes.
Is it hard for you to think about it now, or is it part of your story that you struggle with?
It comes in waves. There's times I don't think about it at all, and then something will remind me of my dad, and I'll think about it and grieve. But I always feel the Lord's nearness when I experience that pain. It is such a great pain when your parent passes away, almost unexplainable. So it's a great comfort that I do feel the Lord's nearness to me. I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah. Did you have any reconciliation on his part towards you in later years, or not really?
No. Yeah, we had no communication. He wasn't very well mentally. So, yeah, I always hoped as I got older there'd be a period of reconciliation, but it wasn't in the Lord's plan to go about it that way.
So what about a different kind of obstacle? What about, did you mention shyness?
Shyness, yeah. Yeah.
When did that change for you? Because if I meet a new person, I'm like, oh, they have to meet Reshmi. Or Reshmi will know what to do. She'll take them out. She'll welcome them. She'll be their friend. Mm. That's how I think of you.
Yeah, it's interesting. Thank you.
So how are you seeing it?
I felt a large conviction where God says to love others. Felt the Lord leading me that shyness was not an excuse to not greet others or to not be welcoming towards others. I think I spent a lot of time early on going to church, wondering how church would serve me. And the Lord really flipped my perspective of, I'm a daughter in God's house, and I need to think about how I can be serving God's house and be welcoming others. And it's not, how can they be serving me? So I think the Lord's really brought me out of shyness with a service mindset, and I'm not always the greatest at it. I can definitely be lazy, but I've seen a lot of fruit from adopting that perspective, which I'm very grateful for.
Yeah. You still feel kind of the same in your heart?
Yeah, I naturally very much want to be alone or just walk around town alone and not interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of the sinful nature in me. But when I'm obedient to the Lord and speak with people, there's such great joy in that. And when I'm alone and keep to myself, there's great depression. So, yeah, it's true. Trying to think of the scripture about living by the Spirit versus living by your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the flesh really does bring death, and the Spirit brings life.
Do you shoulder any regrets?
I often wish I followed Jesus when I was younger, but at the same time, I'm grateful that the Lord let me live in the world and see nothing would satisfy but Him. So now I really have that experiential knowledge of there's no other rock, there's no other place to go. He's the one true fountain. So I'm grateful for the time that He saved me, but sometimes it does frustrate me. I wish I grew up as a Christian.
But that won't be the story of your children someday.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is pretty remarkable. Like, they won't taste that.
Yeah, wow.
So you get to bear and suffer, like, for that good of the future.
That's sweet.
All right. I know this question may take a little time to answer, so go ahead and think, but three people who have impacted you in your life and why?
That's a very good question. Peyton Kester, for her welcomingness to Remnant Church. I was very scared still to attend church, and she texted me, like, Mia, no, come pick you up. We'll come get you. We'll take you to church. And it was during COVID time. So they were very, very thoughtful and asking me if I was comfortable going. And they would even wear masks if that would make me more comfortable. So that really was kind of like the hands and feet of Christ to me, for sure. Such a great blessing.
Two more to go.
Two more. Josh and Deanna Williams, can I say two at the same time?
Okay, yeah. One flesh.
Yeah, such a wonderful couple. They welcomed me into their community group, and I really felt so out of place in the Christian realm. I didn't really know how to be, and I was still dealing with a lot of anxiety, and they welcomed me in with open arms and took the time to sit with me and listen. So, yeah, I can never pay them back for how much they've served me.
One more.
Oh, okay. Can I say you, Laura?
I don't know.
I think you're a very great example of a godly woman. You live your life with a lot of grace and humility. I'm very grateful to go to church with you.
Thanks, Rush. I love you.
Love you.
Okay. Are there things you were into in the past that are hard to relate to now? Maybe the lens of like things you cared about in the past that you're like, that doesn't draw my attention at all anymore. Just not interested in it.
Oh, that's interesting. I think maybe the accumulation of goods has definitely been pricked away from me, seeing how pointless it is to focus on the accumulation of goods. And that was something I found a lot of joy in, I think, when I first started making an income. But just a couple of years away from that, I see that was a lot of a waste of time and money. It hasn't really bearing any fruit. So definitely, yeah, don't. I mean, maybe I have those desires, but have more wisdom now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What jobs did you end up having after high school and into college beyond Kumon?
I worked for Panera Bread as a delivery driver. And then I left to go home and I came back to VCU and worked as a cashier. And that's actually where I met Peyton. She was also working at Panera at that time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, as cashier. Yes. Okay. I'm sorry. I did door dashing, so I used my car a lot. And then out of college, I got a job as a counselor at first. Yes.
Psychology at work.
Yes.
Was that exciting?
I was really grateful for the job initially. And the people were very kind. But as I worked there, I saw a lot of tension, I guess, build in my mind between what I believed spiritually and what I was instructed to teach. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't able to stay in the work for a long period of time because I really do believe that Jesus is the answer and we need to go to him first.
Yeah.
So I think healthy habits are really great, but I don't think they can bring us back to life. They can't pay for our sins.
Yeah.
So.
And you probably felt a tension with love that you felt towards people as, you know, Jesus renews you all the way down and even your heart. And so you probably had such a love for people that it's probably hard to look them in the face and not be able to tell them Jesus Christ.
Yes, you know? Exactly. It's your true need.
Yeah. So where are you at now in work? Where are you working?
I work for Matthew Becker at State Farm.
Woo-woo. So how do you think the things that you learned, I know you feel freer working for him.
Very grateful, yes.
How are you able to love people well in this job?
I think I definitely have coworkers that lead by a good example. Shane Taylor is the office manager, and he coaches us through a Christian perspective on how to love folks well over the phone. And Matthew's really great at that as well. I enjoy it because it's a little bit more black and white. Insurance is a product that people need, so we can love them well by educating them, making sure they know how to use it, because it can be confusing. I didn't know too much about insurance beforehand. Just taking the time with folks to explain it well.
You also have to apply psychology a little bit. I think knowing how people think and what they want, maybe what they're not asking for.
Yes. Yeah.
Or, you know, all kinds of things like that. And then do you get to do statistics a little bit?
Maybe a little bit. There is more math involved, which is nice. I like kind of punching on the calculator.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that is.
Dream job. Who knew?
I never knew that I would go into insurance, but it's been a huge blessing.
Sounds very official. Do you dress up?
I do somewhat dress up. I maybe could do a better job, but I try to do business casual.
Okay. So who is Work Rush May is what I'm trying to say. Do you have to kind of snap into a phone personality?
I've noticed that something happens when I'm on the phone. I can't quite, I don't have it nailed down. I definitely think my coworkers have very great phone voices that they do. So I'm still working on my phone voice.
I'm trying to imagine you. Do you wear a headset?
I used to my first couple of months, but I switched desks. So now I have a physical phone, which is a lot of fun for me. I do. I like the physical phone.
Yeah. What about it?
I just loved playing with phones as a kid. So it's nice to have this kind of old school handheld phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt a little claustrophobic wearing the headset for 8 hours. So it was a grace for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take a positive spin. What is something that you're looking back on in your life or that you can look back on with appreciation and a heart of gratitude and that you took for granted?
I'm really grateful now for my family. My mom remarried to Joseph Clisby, so now I have a stepdad. And I really feared as a kid to get a stepdad. That was something I was really scared about, but God was really gracious to us and provided him as a father and a husband to my mom. And he also has two daughters. So now I have two sisters that I'm very grateful for, Lauren and Alex.
How old were you when that happened?
This was only a couple years ago, so it's very recent.
Okay, very fun. So what are holidays like for you now, or does everybody get together?
Yeah, Lauren is engaged, so she does holidays with her fiance sometimes, so not always all of us all together, but holidays have been a lot more fun just with more people. So for Christmas, we go to my step aunt's house, Mary and Tom, and kind of celebrate with them. And for Thanksgiving, my mom usually hosts. So it used to just be me, my mom, and my brother.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been really awesome to see Thanksgiving grow.
So, Rashmi, is there any way that you particularly celebrate this time of year? Do you commemorate it at all, being New Year's and around that time that you trusted Christ?
Yeah, I was just thinking I should do something. This is really special to be on this podcast during this time, too, because I kind of listened to a podcast before I came to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of thinking about spending this weekend in prayer and giving thanks to the Lord. And it's been really great to reflect on where he's brought me from, because it has been about 5 years now. So I do forget sometimes.
Yeah.
Where I started.
What would you tell your younger self?
I would say to listen to my Christian friends.
What does that mean?
I just see the Lord is so gracious, and every stage of life has provided a Christian friend who would either invite me to church or tell me about Jesus, and I would just push them away. So, just listen to what they have to say.
That's amazing that he's been calling you and you can trace it back and see it. Were these people that were particularly bold?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially because my parents were Hindus. I remember Miss Caroline lived in the cul-de-sac, and she still loves God to this day. She's awesome. She would take me and Neil to church, and we were very rude to her. We'd be very upset that she was taking us, but she told us she would get us donuts after. So I think my brother would just sleep through the service, and I would just kind of follow his attitude of being upset. But that is so special to me now, that she would take the time to take us with her and her children. So, yeah.
Wow. Any other examples?
Yeah, I had a good friend from middle school to high school, Lydia Solomon. You might have met her at church once. She was a strong believer and would invite me to Dunkin' devotionals where they also had donuts. So I guess donuts are...
Wait. Oh, no way. I'm totally sending you this message. You're going to love it.
Okay. God pursues us through donuts.
Yeah.
And I was always very resistant. And I remember we'd sit at high school lunch, and she would talk about how abortion was wrong. And I really disagreed with her. And she was very patient with me, and she still wanted to be my friend. So yeah, I'm very grateful for her. And she also did take me to church with her a couple times. So yeah, we're still friends to this day. And I tell her how crazy I was. And I'm grateful for her. I don't know what the word is. The way she presented the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. All right, Rashmi, let's move to the end of your podcast. This is the part where you honor a woman in our local church, because you've just witnessed Christ-like virtue in her. And could you pray a prayer of blessing for her and even the woman of our whole church, if you'd like to?
Sure. Yeah. I want to pray for Rachel Trebefil, who was one of my first friends at Remnant. She was very welcoming to me and pursued friendship with me in a lot of ways, that taught me how to pursue friendship with others. Lord, I thank you so much for this church and all the wonderful ladies that you brought to it, God, and how you're so faithful to continue to work on us and be with us. God, I thank you for Rachel Trebefil. I praise you for you have made her beautifully and wonderfully with such a hospitable spirit. Rachel is constantly talking to new folks in church, and is always making people feel welcome in the Lord's house. She shines Christ's love by consistently serving his church and loving on his people. She's a true friend, always pursuing fellowship, even in rough seasons. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless Rachel and her husband, Josh. I love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in the local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for his glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and his faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the master gardener is always at work, so let's yield to him and grow where we're planted.